meeting to order. Will everybody please rise for the invocation and pledge of allegiance? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Please be with those who are ill. Please protect our residents. Please be with our city employees and city staff. Please be with our military. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. The city of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent and fiscal services to our entire community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Councilmember Grant?
Here.
Councilmember Raymond?
Here.
Councilmember Wilson?
Here.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldrich?
Here.
Mayor Pierce?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Item 5, citizens' participation. We have Mr. Gwen signed up to speak regarding a zoning change. Would you like to wait until that item? Okay, perfect.
That's fine. You all got a lot of business to
do. Item 6A, consideration and action on the regular meeting minutes of January 10th. I will entertain a motion.
Make a motion. We accept the meeting January 10th.
Second.
We have a motion by by Councilmember Lehman, seconded by Councilmember Wilson to accept the meeting minutes of January 10th. Any discussion? All in favor, please raise your right hand.
Abstain.
Abstain. That's at least four, though, right? Okay.
Yes.
All right, the meeting minutes of January 10th pass. Item 7A, introduction of new employees. I will turn this over to our city manager.
So we would like to start with our Public Works Department. We have one new employee to introduce.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. This is Mr. Luis Acosta. He's in the Water Department. He holds a sea groundwater, a wastewater 2 collections, and a CSI license. He worked 30 years with the city of Windcrest, and he'll be working in the water department, and he has expertise in wells. So.
Excellent.
Welcome.
Glad to be aboard.
Thank you.
I want to thank you all for having me here.
We're glad to have you.
Thank you for choosing Kirby.
Yes. Hopefully it'd be a good asset for you all. So that's my goal.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Joining us now. All of our water employees are licensed.
Woohoo! Excellent. Thank you.
So that means they can drive?
No, they see deals.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and Council. The fire department is now fully staffed. We have four individuals tonight out of the five that were hired. Mr. Charles Stogner, and Mr. Luis Escalante are on shift today, so I'm going to introduce them first. Ms. Rebecca Lemansky and Mr. Michael Yabara, they will be on shift Saturday.
Good.
They all are brand new firefighters with the city of Kirby, as well as EMTs.
Welcome. Would y'all like to say anything?
Get us out of here.
Chief, would you like to say anything?
I'm just glad that we're fully staffed and I have all the confidence in the world in my people. I trust them. We would have gotten you if they weren't creaming the crop. So I thank y'all.
Thank you.
I don't want to see you, though.
All right. Yeah. So that concludes the introduction of our new employees. We will move to item 7B, recognize employee of the quarter.
So I
chief to go ahead and introduce them because he made the nomination for our employee of the quarter, who I don't think knows that they won yet, or do they know?
No.
Okay.
Really?
Yes. The employee of the quarter is going to be Stephen Golick. During the negotiation process with ESD 11, he has stepped up, really helped with getting the fire apparatus as well as the equipment that is needed for that station. So I felt he needed a lot more recognition than just a pat on the back. So I nominated him for employee of the quarter. Mr. Stephen Golick, if you would come up.
There you go. More better.
And there's a little basket. Yes. It does.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you.
I shouldn't get it.
I'm going to put a bill on you.
All right, we will move to item 8, the public hearing. At this time, I will close the regular meeting at 7:08, and I will open the public hearings for item 8A and B. However, I will read item A, and if there is anybody in the audience who wishes to speak on this matter, please step up to the podium. And this isn't for council discussion at this point. This is just for the members attending. Item 8, a request to rezone property from the current zoning of commercial office and retail district C1 to commercial district C2. The property is located at lot 31, block 3, CB5941, known as 5447 Seguin Road, Kirby, Texas, 78219, Bexar County, Texas. Mr. Gwynn, would you like to speak now?
That place is called M&M Automotive. It's been M&M Automotive since 1984. It's probably one of the oldest businesses in Kirby round. And what I've done is it's time for Mike to retire. I've been a mechanic for 47 years. My bones ain't working no more. And we fixed it all up. And to my surprise, when I went down, I had people looking at this thing. And then they told me we can't be a garage because it was a C1. And under your C1, it cannot be a garage. And I'd like it to stay a garage because it's pretty well fixed up now. It's all nice, cleaned up, painted, everything inside. It's all fancy. I'd like to leave the lifts and everything in there. I'm leaving quite a bit of equipment because what am I going to do with it? I can take it home. So I wanted to change this to a C2 so I have more of an option to sell it to somebody that's interested in keeping it as a garage. As right now, Kirby doesn't have a whole lot of garages, you know, auto repairs. You know, I've been doing it for Kirby people for a long, long, long time. I miss a lot of my customers that I used to have a long time. So that is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get to change the C2. I had no idea that it was changed way back in 96 or something when it was changed over. I'm part of that Long Island there that are all C2s, except when they went from James's over to me on the corner there, It became, I guess because that house was there, it became a C1. So that's what I'm trying to do. Thank you all. And thank Kirby. I've had a really good, I mean, this is like almost my second home because I really enjoy this because it's a more of a small town. I do not like San Antonio. I've loved being here in this area. That's why I came here. Thank you. I used to be on Rittman Road. Yes. So this was just amazing. Thank you.
Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to speak on this item? All right, we will move to item 8B, still under the public hearing. A request for variances from the signed ordinance section 154.06, C1, signed surface area limits to allow 134 square feet of maximum face area, and section 154.06, D1, height of signs to allow a pole sign with a height of 25 feet located at CB5092L, Lot 8, otherwise known as 5920 FM 78, City of Kirby, Bexar County, Texas. Is there anybody who wishes to speak on this item?
Good evening. My name is Greg Burkett. I'm with Apex Sign Group. I'm here representing Dr. Hernandez, who is the physician that's building the new clinic in the city of Kirby. He wanted me to extend to you, to the council, that he wanted to be here, but he's in Dallas for a medical training seminar. So that's always good when the doctors keep up on stuff. But he wanted me to express that the signage is extremely important to his visibility, to make sure that people know that that's a medical clinic. He's putting a huge investment into that development. More than likely, I would assume all of y'all have seen it. It's a very nice facility. He's really taken what was raw land for a long time and developing into that new medical clinic. Again, the signage is very critical to him. And not that we need to compare to other cities, but if he was down the road in San Antonio on 78, this same property would be allowed a 40-foot sign at 240 square feet. But looking at what we thought would work, we felt this was a good compromise to have this particular sign, and he's hoping that the council will approve the request for this particular sign.
Thank you. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to speak on this? Okay, at this time, I will close the public hearing at 7:13 and reopen our regular meeting. We'll move to item 9. I'm going to deviate from our meeting agenda. We will move to item 9B, discussion and possible action on a request to rezone property from the current zoning of commercial office and retail district C1 to commercial district C2. The property is located at lot 31, block 3, CB5941, known as 5447 Seguin Road, Kirby, Texas, 78219. We just heard from Mr. Gwynn about this item, so I will open the floor up.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we accept the zoning change to C2 for 5447 Seguin Road.
Second.
Mayor, if I may, because zoning changes have to be done by ordinance, and since our charter requires ordinances to be posted, I'm reluctant to allow Mr. Grant's motion to move forward. It would be more appropriate if Mr. Grant's motion was to direct staff to work with the city attorney to prepare an ordinance to change the zoning on this property, because we have a zoning ordinance that establishes the zoning classification of each property. So to change the zoning of a piece of property, it requires an ordinance.
Mayor, I would like to amend mine to what our attorney suggested.
And you're still second. Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Lehman, to direct staff to propose the ordinance to move the location at 5447 Seguin Road, Kirby, Texas, 78219, from C1 to C2. Is there any discussion? Do you want to mention anything from P&Z? I don't see anyone here.
No, but Planning and Zoning did meet and they voted to recommend approval. Okay.
Any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember
yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldrich?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right, we have approved for staff to propose the ordinance change. So how long will that take as far as, and I'm only saying that since Mr. Gwynn does have somebody that's interested, I just don't want it to impede any potential buyers for that property.
So I will have an ordinance ready for your next regular meeting.
Okay.
That works.
In the meantime, if he does get presented, will he be able to at least say that that is C2 so that, all right.
So it's a done deal, just got to get the paperwork.
You have to do the legal part.
Yes.
I understand.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right, I'm going to continue with 9C, discussion and possible action on a request for a variance from the sign ordinance, section 154.06, sign surface area limits to allow 134 square feet of maximum face area, and section 154.06 D1, height of signs to allow a pole sign with a height of 25 feet located at CB5092L Lot 8, otherwise known as 5920 FM 78, City of Kirby, Bexar County, Texas. Since this is just a request for a variance, we will be able to vote specifically on this?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, so I will entertain a motion.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mayor.
No, that's fine. We heard.
I make a motion that we accept the sign variance.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Layman, to accept the variance from the sign ordinance to allow the 134 square feet of maximum face area and section 154.06, the height of the signs, to allow pole sign with the height of 25 feet. Is there any discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Yes.
Mayor
Pro Tem Aldrich?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you. I know the doctor will thank you also.
We look forward to that business coming.
No, we're glad to have you all here.
Operating and going forth.
He's excited about it, very much so. Yep.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
All right, with that, we will move back up to item 9A, discussion and possible action on an employee weight loss challenge program. I will turn this over to our city manager.
Mayor, just kind of through some brainstorming among some employees, there was the idea to offer a weight loss challenge program that would run for 2 months, and it would be optional for any employee who wishes to participate. They would pay $10 of their own money into a pool, and at the end of the 2 months, with the weigh-in, we would consider the amount of weight loss and the BMI to determine who would win the contest. Department heads would be allowed to participate but would not be eligible to win the money. The employees were just interested in winning the pot of money, but I just thought maybe to make it more of an incentive that we could consider matching whatever the pot is. So if we have 10 employees who pay $10 a piece, the winner would get that $100 plus another $100 out of our employee supplemental benefits account. And that account does go toward like gym memberships and those types of things. So I think that would be an eligible expense for that account.
Good deal.
So as the pool of interested parties, was it all over every department, or was it just centric to one area?
There was representation from every department in the conversation. Now, we didn't go out into the masses of other people, but yeah,
right.
There was representation from every department.
And is this just an initiative for health or?
Right, more of a health and wellness type of initiative, or just talking about ways to encourage healthier eating. And that's really how it started. Some employees were talking about eating better, needing to go exercise more often. And so we just thought, okay, well, maybe we have a contest that would motivate others who may not be planning to go on a diet or eat better to participate as well.
So is there like follow-up to keeping the weight off or to keep up with that?
Well, we would hope that it would at least encourage them to have that mindset to stick with the healthy eating habits. We didn't talk about doing a follow-up just to the contest.
And the only reason I say that is because the intent is around healthy lifestyle, healthy eating, I mean, I can, just since it is, and I just would hate that even though you don't have to participate, I would just not want anyone to feel that they were being alienated or that they felt that they were forced to participate or that kind of.
Only optional, they would have to, come in, do the weigh-in, agree that we're going to keep that information confidential, and hopefully, and some people thought it would be fun, so we'll see if it's a healthy competition.
Also. Didn't we do this already once?
I was told that several years ago they did one, but I guess it was, I don't know if you told me it was all departments or if it was.
It was just a challenge between the PD and the fire department. Right. It was probably 6 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long are we going to keep this contest going?
So it would be 2 months.
2 months?
The initial weigh-in would be Thursday, February 28th, and then the final weigh-in would be Wednesday, May 1st. And the challenge would start Friday, March 1st, and end Tuesday, April 30th. And then the winner would be recognized on the May 9th council meeting, if we chose to go into this. I will entertain a motion.
Anything that promotes good health, for 2 months is a good deal.
Is that your motion?
Yes, ma'am.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Wilson to accept the Employee Weight Loss Challenge Program in which the city would match the funding.
Can old people sit and watch?
Oh, Mike.
Is there any further discussion?
Who would you call it old?
Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right. Well, good luck to everybody that participates. Item 9D, update, discussion, and possible action on the Ben Zingelman Road reconstruction project.
Do we have to?
I'm sure it's probably the same. We have our director, Gilbert.
They're still working on concrete as of right now. They're going to do the corners on Lewis Charles Conrad and Ben Zingelman. And spoke with them about the signs, sign placement, and also I have not gotten any update as far as the mailbox as of yet. So there's been a couple of days where they haven't been out again due to weather, and that's the rain. So as of now, they're still working on the concrete on the sides and still within phase three. So I have not received an update as far as updated timeline from them as to when they would finish with the interruption of the weather days that we've had lately.
Do they specifically list their weather days? Do they report their weather days?
Yeah, they record them, and I record them as well as the engineer. And the engineer goes by the rain. There's a website he goes to that gives him the information on the rain, which days and how much they got in certain areas, and he'll record it there. and then they report it too. And they request rain days whenever they put in the bids. So,
well, the signs that I had talked about at the last council meeting, not the signs, but the junk, if you will, the sawhorse and all that, is still at Bez Aldrin and Ben Zingelman, so it still hasn't been taken care of. So it still looks unsightly. It's just thrown. Hasn't been picked up. I mean, the homeowner can't even mow that area, so the grass is just growing through it. I actually thought about stopping and picking it up myself, but I don't think it would fit in my car. And they, every time I do see them, I am asked about it again. Does anybody else have any questions or comments?
Gilbert, what is the lowest temperature that concrete can be poured?
Can't be poured freezing when it's freezing, so it has to be above freezing in order for it to be poured. The only obstacle that would probably come into play whenever the weather, it's not so much, if it's below freezing, you can't really pour. You really don't want to if it's anywhere in the 30s, you know, for the most part. You can, but you kind of don't want to because it won't cure correctly and it'll crack and it won't stay the way it should. The obstacle that you do have, though, is when you have wet weather and that base or whatever they set in there, if it's not solid or it's not dried, then you'll have issues later, cracking and sinking of the base and the sidewalks.
You just made my point of some of the curbs that went in the other day. It's a little bit spongy up there, and it was in about the mid-30s, not even over the 40s, when they were on the south side of Ben Zingelman putting those curbs in, because I worked that day and I came and I never got above, I don't think it got into the 40s.
Had they done it 5 months ago when on their schedule, they wouldn't have had that issue.
You got that right, Mary.
And they kept telling us if it's 30, rising to 40,
thank you,
they could pour. That's what they told us.
I thought that was asphalt.
Asphalt.
That's asphalt, yeah.
It all gets hard.
That's the test the Aggies failed.
Yeah, it's the main thing is like you can, as long as it's not a hard freeze, then you should be okay. But usually you pour above 32 degrees. You don't want to pour when it's freezing. If they pour during the day, again, if the temperature is rising, you know, most of the time you'll be okay. But if it's freezing and it stays freezing overnight, they pour later in the afternoon, you'd have issues.
Another thing I was concerned with, it was kind of spongy, and the weight, you know, the way they're pouring them now is that, you know, it could drop to the inside, I guess, towards the yards. Which, you know, the way that form set.
Yeah, and there's different, some people like to pour the material a little wetter than others, yes, sometimes. And when they screed it between the forms, because when they set the forms, they have a level,
yes,
with a percentage that you got to set right there for the rain and the runoff to go to the curb. Now they set those percentages, and then they pour them. When they pour them doing concrete, when you pour it a little bit wetter, it's kind of easier. So when they screed it like that, the concrete falls off on the sides of it, and some contractors throw it back later on, or some will just leave it there, and they clean it up when they fix the, when they pull the forms.
Okay. So, one other thing. I noticed the concrete trucks were doing the clean out right there on the street. You do that in San Antonio, and you do a quick 1,000 right there. I mean, you don't clean a concrete truck on the street. You just don't. Because that's nothing but skim.
If you see that happen again, would you mind calling that in?
Oh, yes. Okay. I just did. Caught it at the rear end. He was, and I was like, mm-mm.
That way it can be recorded for one, but number two, then we can let him know so he can follow up on that.
Yeah, and then we need to see if, because the contractor is going to go out there, they're going to pour, and then before they go to the next job site, as a safety precaution, they'll clean out their chute, but there needs, we got to see if it's in the plans, if there's a mandatory concrete washout for them to provide anywhere near the job site, whether that be at the yard or in the general area.
Okay.
So,
just kind of, I mean, he was right there at the corner, so that was a little obvious.
Any other comments, questions? All right, thank you, Gilbert. Okay, we will move to item 9E, update discussion and possible action to consider adopt-a-spot application from Quick Trip. The representative is not able to be here, but he did leave word with our city manager that he would like to do this endeavor, and this would be at Gibbs sprawl from the stop sign to the railroad tracks.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm assuming, does he mean stop light?
Well, I believe it means stop light, but I will confirm that with him because it was my understanding that they just wanted to go from the traffic light at FM 78 around
to where our city.
Back to their property, that corner? Oh, yeah, that'll work.
And I thought that's maybe what it is, but since it said stop sign, I wasn't sure. Well, that was the other thing. This was the application also has Sam Richardson, who is no longer in the city. However, I do know that he is keeping in contact with another individual in the city, but he's still maintaining the Keep Kirby Beautiful until he can pass the reins over completely. JD is all on board with Quick Trip moving forward as long as the city is allowing. They would be doing trash pickup along that side, and they would be doing approximately 2 hours every other month, and they would have about 15 to 20 participants of employees that would be doing that. And I would presume that they will let us know those dates so that if anybody in the community, ourselves, want to join that endeavor, that we would be able to also do that. So I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I move that we accept adopt a spot application from Quick Trip on what was the address again?
It is
the stoplight.
Yes, the stoplight to the city of Gibbsboro.
Gibbsboro.
Yes.
Yep.
Second. We have a motion by Councilmember Wilson, seconded by Councilmember Apodaca, to approve the adopt a spot application from Quick Trip. Any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layman?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. We will move to item 9F, discussion and possible action on statements of qualifications received for city engineering services. We'll turn this over to our city manager.
Back in November, we put out a request for qualifications for city engineering services. The deadline to submit was December 7th. We received one statement of qualifications, and that was from M&S Engineering. And they do have a representative here tonight who's happy to answer any of our questions. Staff reached out to our current city engineers, Ford Engineering, and they opted not to submit qualifications, but they were aware of the opportunity. Staff also did just kind of a meeting slash interview with representatives from M&S Engineering, and we had an opportunity to talk about their level of experience, which is quite a bit. They actually have expertise in stormwater, wastewater, transportation, and so multiple other areas. And one good thing about that for us is that we have a separate contract with Gibbler Engineering for our stormwater, because that was not a piece that Ford could handle for us. That contract is good through September 30th of this year, so that's something to keep in mind that we're already in that agreement. But going forward, if we wanted to put all of our services with M&S Engineering, they would be able to do that for us. We also talked about GIS system, because the city purchased a couple years ago the GIS, so they have that expertise as well, where they would be able to manage that for us and assist us with updating our mapping systems. So we are very confident that, you know, they have the expertise needed for the city. We are not able in the qualifications process to negotiate funding. So if council directs staff tonight to move forward with negotiating a contract with M&S Engineering, then we would need to talk about funding. And so one of the things that they explained to us is that we would do, I think it was called a general services contract, and that's for like all the small things that we do. And that would be under one contract. And then as we have specific projects, we would do task orders.
Is that the right Mr. Freeland, would you like to come up here?
Task orders for specific projects. They did, We also talked about like the fact that we have an ongoing MPO project. I know they have an engineer there who's done MPO work, but as a firm, they have not done MPO work. So we talked about the fact that if we were to have another MPO project, that's something that we need to be contracted out as well, with them kind of overseeing that. And so I'll be happy to let you add anything.
Sure, thanks. My name is Gary Freeland. I'm with M&S Engineering, and I've just showed up tonight to watch and learn and listen, and I'm happy to answer any questions I can. And everything I heard is correct. You know, we provide engineering services for several municipalities, and we understand a lot of the challenges that cities go through on a day-to-day basis, and we try to help where we can and when we can. And we understand that everybody has a budget. That's what we have to work with. So.
So what kind of projects have you done that would, let's say we're having a reconstruction for Ben Zingelman, so what kind of, and we have one coming up for a bond that was passed for to replace Ackerman, so what kind of experience, other jobs that y'all have that are like those that you can talk
sure.
about?
So I'm a civil engineer by trade, and so that's kind of my area of practice. We have a project in the city of Selma under construction right now, Ventura and several other roads in that subdivision. It's about a $4 million project. It is the third project in that neighborhood. With this project, we will have finished reconstructing all of the roads. The first two projects were about $1.5 million each, so we're $7 million total. We have a project in construction right now in the city of New Braunfels, Owls Lane. Major reconstruction of a road there, that was about a $9 million project. We have some road maintenance projects in design for the city of New Braunfels. We also have done annual street maintenance projects where, you know, a chip seal or an overlayer, you know, a pothole repair, a fog seal for city of Selma, Floresville, Lavernia, worked with Hill Country Village on a maintenance program that they're actually trying to get a bond passed for that. We have a big project in Leander, Texas, East Street, where we're crossing over a floodway and doing a floodplain map revisions. That's a pretty large-scale project that's in design now. And then we also have another project in design. This is out of our Georgetown office. It is for an evacuation route for Steiner Ranch. And it's kind of a roadway job, so... Those are some of the recent ones.
Thank you. Can you also, one of the things that we struggle with here in Kirby, obviously because of our budget as well, is infrastructure. So I saw that that you actually have several sewer main improvement projects. Can you tell us a little about how that is something that y'all's expertise helps aid cities in those pieces?
Sure, I can. That's not my area of expertise, but I am familiar with those projects. And our utility group, you know, helps with the water wastewater services for several cities and several rural water supplies. We have a couple projects in construction now where we're doing some water main and water meter replacement projects that are get funding from the USDA that have there's been some grant money and things of that nature. We also have worked with the Texas Water Development Board. They have some funding options. The city in Italia, we're working with them on a project with their water wastewater infrastructure on helping them out. And then obviously the Alves Lane project that I mentioned, the roadway job in the city of New Braunfels, is also rebuilding the water and wastewater systems in Alves Lane as well through New Braunfels Utilities MBU, and that was just a project that they funded out of pocket. So we work with several grant writers and folks that have helped us help find some funds and loans and things like that.
as far as ongoing projects and things like that, providing people on the ground to assist, like our people, in supervising the job and making sure things are kept in line and all things are met. Do you have that possibility or the ability to do that?
Yes, sir, absolutely. I got dirt on my shoes because I was in the city of Selma till 6:45 last night having the contractor rework an intersection that they had come in and lime stabilized. We got some rain, and it was a hole, and it was muddy. People couldn't get through, and we showed up about 4 o'clock, and we stayed there till they excavated all the bad material, brought base material in, and got the roadway back open. So, absolutely. We have several other staff members.
That's what we need. Gilbert is on top of it, but there's times when extra knowledge and extra eyes really come in important.
You bet. Sometimes it's hard for one person to cover everything.
Absolutely.
So
you do. Sorry, yes, sir. Did you say they laid base last night?
Temporarily, they put base down. They dug out the moisture condition subgrade and just put the base in just so we could get through the intersection. They'll have to dig it back out and redo it all.
It was cold last night.
I got you. I caught you. I got it. Yeah, but no, that was one of the main reasons that we have. We are a small city, and our dollars have to be spent prudently, and we need people that the extra eyes, and Gilbert has got a whole city to run around, and it's been a problem, obviously, with the situation we have, and that's my street, and I'm the next section coming, so it's Lord God.
I listened to your conversation on Ben Zingelman, and it's... it's not anything that everybody else isn't dealing with all this rain and weather. It's been a rough time to try to build some roads lately. So,
we appreciate it.
Gilbert, do you have any questions?
Gilbert. One more thing I would like you to tell us about. Just talk about the differences between the competitive bid process versus the low bid process and
Sure. So we've worked with several municipalities and typically on the low bid process, you know, you get your bids from your contractors, you get your qualifications, low bid, you go through the screening process, the reference checks, and you have to just move forward with that. We've worked with some where on the competitive seal proposal process, the bid for the project is still a major component of the decision to award the project, but you can also identify some specific criteria experience levels for the contractors working on that project. And in the bid process, if you identify those and disclose that along with your scoring methodology and the way you are looking at that, and then obviously, you know, when you take the bids in, you have a few folks independently rank and evaluate those. Typically what we do is we'll have a couple of folks in the M&S office do it, and then a couple of folks with the municipality that we're working with independently score and then prepare a cumulative score for the whole project. And that's helped get a better project, I think a better contractor on the project in some cases.
So it's not just the money, it's more than the qualifications also.
That's right. But typically the price of the project is still weighted very heavily in the evaluation process.
But you still do have some options that contribute to the scoring process.
Absolutely. Project experience, you know, project resumes for the superintendents, those are a couple of the things that we've done there, you know, like kind type projects and the number of projects that they've worked on in the same area. There's several different criteria you can do, but just make sure that everything is very clear in the bid process that's the way you're going. It's still kind of I think a lot of contractors, it's a little bit new to them. It's kind of a new process. But it seems to work. We've had a couple projects where that's worked well for us.
And Gilbert, was when you went through their the information and the talks, what is there anything that specifically stood out to you?
No, it's just they're very well diversified with what they can do. Gives us some options. They seem very thorough. The interview went well, and everybody had some really good information for us there. So I don't have any concerns over.
But knowing the projects and the day-to-day stuff that you go to, you would feel confident if this engineering firm was there that they would be able to provide you the necessary
support
that you would need?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yeah, when we talked about it again, it's with a contract each time. It's negotiated and everything's worked out, I believe, whenever we go for a different project. So we'll assess the needs of the project specifically as we go forward with, you know, with the contract before we get everything going out there. So I think they have the amount of people needed. They have all the resources they need to assist here with Kirby. So I think it'll be all right.
Mayor, if I may. Look at this gentleman, and not just be disrespectful to anyone, but when I look at a man that shows up working, I mean, not $100 polished shoes, $100 slacks, that speaks volumes to me. That tells me right then they're on the job.
And when I came on council, the current engineering firm we have, so I've never actually been through this process, and so I never actually saw a proposal, but there is actually one of the things in the presentation that actually stuck out to me, and it's involving the city council staff and citizens mm-hmm. about how important that M&S understands they have to perform with confidence. I'll just even read it. It says that means developing common sense solutions that will stand up to the scrutiny of open debate, press, and social media. Currently, we know that social media has left a platform for anything to be commented on, whether it's factual or not. So that piece of it here, the fact that, and again, this may be something that all engineering firms stand by, but specifically this piece of it, because it does matter, because the things that we say or the things, the concerns are not only our concerns as council, but there are concerns as residents, and they're the same concerns as our neighbors. So it's not like, you know, the people that are sitting up here are immune to any of the issues that were, you know, that are currently happening in the city. So this piece right here actually stood out to me, and I think that it's something that we're looking for, and I think that it's, you know, the fact that it also says that they work closely with the city manager because of the municipality experience that they've had, that they know what city managers go through, what staff goes through. So, I mean, I thought it was a great proposal and a synopsis of everything. It lists exactly what they have. It lists their employees, what their discipline, what their expertise is. So,
well, it's in writing. And see, that's the thing is, business is to me, when you're not afraid to put it in writing, that tells me something, the integrity's there.
And like I said, I've never had to go through this because the current engineering firm has always been here. So is there any further discussion? No. All right, I will thank you both.
Yes.
I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion to direct staff to negotiate a contract with M&S Engineering.
Second. We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to authorize our city manager to negotiate a contract with M&S Engineering. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layden?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember
Akadaka?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. What do you think the time frame for all of that will be? I mean, I know this is new, so.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I'll reach out to them tomorrow about setting up our first meeting as soon as possible.
What time is our?
So, can we have that on the agenda then for our next meeting?
When does the OEX expire with the other company?
So, Gibler, the stormwater engineers expire September 30th. We really don't have a contract yet for as our city engineers.
I didn't think it was on
call.
They
serve as our engineers until we tell them otherwise.
And they have that. They have water, stormwater drainage setups, wastewater, all that stuff with this firm here.
MPO.
Yeah.
Yep. Good to go.
The only thing I can comment on is in some cities, when the change of city engineer is made, if there is an ongoing project that's close to completion, many times the city will stay with the original engineer because there's a learning curve that you don't want to pay for twice
right.
on a specific project. So, for example, if this change happens before Benzingelman is completed, you may want to let Ford, Mark Hill, let Ford finish that project. You may not, but it's definitely an option to consider.
It would just be hard to define close to being finished at this point. I'm not.
Also, the guy's much bigger than that than the grandson is, so I like him better.
All right, so we will move to. Oh, do you, Monique, do you have any more? Gilbert, do you have any more comments? Or
Monique can discuss whether they would feel comfortable taking over Benzingelman.
If it comes to that.
If it came to that, yes.
I would need to look at it because we do have an agreement for that project, right. So I would need to look at that.
And
there's no buyout.
In all of the contracts, you know, going yes. on with it, we have to redo too. So
that's actually the only one we have right now under an agreement is Benzingelman.
So Ackerman has
We've
nothing.
Not done an agreement for Ackerman or Hickory Hill, which
are excellent. Okay. Home on that one.
All right, item 9G, discussion and possible action on regulation of electronic scooters. Councilmember Apodaca had requested this item. We have a lot of information here.
How about just none?
would you like to embark on that, just what your concern or what have you was again?
Well, I just happened to see some scooters down the street from my house at the park, at Seho Park, and I was just kind of wondering what the city's take was on that, if there was anything in place to regulate it, you know, just all that. I know San Antonio's having an issue with it. There's been numerous injuries, and I had not
even seen them that day, but however... Mayor Pro Tem Audrin and myself, she actually saw these at night that were sitting by the bus stop at Seguin mm-hmm. because I didn't know they have lights on them, but when I saw them, they didn't. So they're lit up, and so she was actually giving me a crash course in how this stuff even works. So we were trying to determine how they got there because they're apparently not supposed to be carried on a bus. Like you're supposed to.
Well,
so
I rode them.
They're not.
I rode them. You know where I've seen them? Broadway and 410.
Well, I'm sure that they.
All over town.
They are. But I just honestly feel because there was like six of them there. And
I
then,
just don't see people riding a scooter all the way up 78
oh,
to come
trust
in
me.
So,
and
it was just. And they may have. It was just the fact that there was nothing seen that was mobility. I don't know, Chief, have you seen. Have any of your officers reported scooters in Kirby?
I have not gotten any reports, nor have I personally seen them, but I have had some citizens asking about them, yes.
I was just curious if, you know, if we did see anybody driving down the road on them.
And don't
we do routinely see kids on their own personal scooters
right.
and skateboards.
And I've seen those. I just haven't seen these automated.
And don't forget about the bicycles now that are coming.
Right.
Yummies.
What?
Yummies.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about candy for a minute. I'm sorry.
Yummy candy. No, from the time I called Lisa and asked her about it and texted her this picture, I went to my house. I downloaded the app because I was going to go up, ride one to her house. So by the time I had downloaded the app, put my credit card number in, went back up there, somebody had stole all eight of them.
No, they pick them up.
No, they had GPS on them.
No, I tracked them to Sunrise.
Really? Well, they have GPS because little guys run around
well,
at night picking them up.
And that's why Mayor Pro Tem Audridge actually gave me a rundown on it because I had no idea how they worked. I hadn't looked it up, and so it was very interesting.
Got to Lisa's.
I'm sorry, what?
Is she fell off?
I'm not that old.
Do you realize what the range on those
Does
things
city
are?
Staff have
15 miles.
15 miles, exactly.
Like, have an idea or?
20.
Yeah, one of the things that we just internally talked about was if this was going to be a big phenomenon and be around for a while, that we probably needed to consider maybe a parking area that was specific for them. We didn't necessarily say we should completely ban them because we were thinking how difficult would it be to regulate that. But just this week, this article came out that we provided about San Antonio no longer, well, they're going to have a vote coming up to no longer permit any of them. This is a pilot program that should expire on April the 19th. So maybe we'll just continue to monitor it and see what happens. Because they've been having so many accidents and complaints about them, and scooters just everywhere all over the city, we don't know if they're going to continue with the program. So we may over the next couple of months continue to see a few in Kirby, and then if they make it a permanent thing, we probably do need to consider some
If Chief can just be on the lookout and possibly just, or anybody else for that matter, if they see them, you know, report it. But that way, maybe that would get some database as far as...
If we see them, take a picture of it, send it to, you know, even if a citizen sees it, send it to our city info, and then we can kind of keep track of where we're seeing them and
right.
how many.
And like I said, these were actually on Seguin at the bus stop. So then I also wonder... You know, does VIA have any stance on it, considering they were literally housed in their pad under their established place where people are actually waiting for the bus? So, I mean, I don't know if they have a allowance for that.
You know what the big argument they're having is? When they break their leg or their arm or whatever, who's liable? So there's already been about five of them filed against the city of San Antonio because of the fact they can't even keep on on the sidewalk, off the sidewalk, in the street, wherever.
Well, apparently the renters can't read because you click a box for a waiver when you sign up.
And that don't mean nothing. That means just like when they tell you we're not responsible for selling out if you park in this lot. Happens, they get sued all the time. And I guarantee you the city, having worked for the city, they won't go to court, they'll pay. And people and attorneys know that. I mean, the guys that do that kind of stuff, they know it. And so they'll file a suit. There's one lady, the first one that was filed was a lady was on by the Majestic Theater, and she's walking along, and a guy hits her from the back and knocks her down.
The other thing that, I mean, obviously we aren't going to have, if they were here, we wouldn't have this volume, but it's just this information that you gave us. Said the city said... This is the city of San Antonio. So parking enforcement has corrected about 15,000 scooters improperly parked on streets
right.
or sidewalks as of December. The city said 70 scooters have been impounded with 556 violations reported to 311. So this is another thing that I think as far as the staff that we are limited with our police staff as well, that this is just another something that has to be regulated, and knowing that... this could be a potential issue, then I just think that that's something that would lay another undue responsibility on an already strained police force.
So can we be proactive about putting an ordinance together, banning these, being on the business side? Because, again, too, we have our kids and we have some adults. I mean, there's a gentleman every morning with a three-wheeler bike that's real low to the ground and pew, goes by. I mean, but to limit it towards if it's something to do with a business, that... Not going to be allowed in here. I mean, personal use.
We wouldn't be allowed to operate.
Right.
No commercial at all. I mean, if it's an individual, you can't stop that, but no commercial.
No, well, as long as it's an individual.
Yeah. But if it's a commercial, no. Could you put up a zip wire and just zip under it and that's it?
Most of the smaller cities have not gotten around to doing any kind of regulation. They're taking pretty much the position that Ms. Vernon described, just wait and see. If they become an issue in the community. You know, I had suggested to her the idea of a designated parking area because one of the big problems in San Antonio is literally they are everywhere.
Yes.
I thought they were going to have racks.
I have seen somebody riding a scooter on the access road of Highway 281 near the Quarry shopping area. It is unbelievable. And the reason they disappeared at night is because people pick them up, take them home and charge them. They get paid $5 or $10 per scooter per night.
Right.
And then they have to deliver them back, and they're all coded. So the scooter company tells you, tells these people where they're supposed to drop them back off. So the main concern is a safety concern for pedestrians and for the community as a whole.
Yeah, you don't want to be on one of those calls.
We can certainly look at banning them, but the reality is that there's really no good way to publicize that. So we may still end up with scooters on Seguin Road. And,
well, then
and
they,
if we banned them, our ordinance
up?
Would say they would be impounded by the police department. Mm-hmm. They would be held, and if they want to pick them up, they can pick them up, and there's a impound fee and a storage fee,
so
kind of like what we do with vehicles, Chief.
Is there any traffic code right now? Like, let's just say you saw it on 78.
Nope. Not even the state of Tech, nobody. I can ride my pocket rocket?
San Antonio's ordinance says you can't drive, you can't use these scooters on a street where the speed limit is over 35.
Well, I was just saying, since we don't have it at all,
right.
I was just curious if...
In situations like that, we generally go to the traffic code that covers things like recreational vehicles, like golf carts, ATVs, that sort of thing. And city attorney is correct in that usually you have to keep those on streets with speed limits less than 35 miles an hour.
So if we raise everything to 70, they're gone, right?
Right.
Okay.
So something else I'd like to throw in, too, if we actually start moving forward and continuing or looking at banning or regulating it, is to maybe broaden the language a little bit, because yesterday I had an opportunity to go to the center to pick up some paperwork on a new employee, and right there on the sidewalk on the access road to 35, and the center's directly across the street from Splashdown, were three electric bikes, orange in color, with I thought the company name said Jump on the side of them.
Jump.
Yeah, that's
the first time where I've seen bicycles, electric bikes starting to come closer. So I'd recommend broadening the language to include any type of electric motorized owned vehicle or something.
So at this point, do you see a need? Like I said,
I say this with caution. Right now, today, at this very moment, no, because we haven't had any complaints with the police department, nor have I. Like I said, I know they're out there. I've seen the photographs, but I haven't been driving down Bentley Road look over. Wow, there's four or five.
And I'm presuming that it's coming. We're just a little late, you know, for it. So, I mean, I personally believe, you know, that that's going to be the wave of the future. I feel that it, even though it's not affecting us now, I honestly believe that it will. Maybe in 6-7 months, but I honestly think, you know, that it's coming.
I would agree with that. While I don't believe it is a problem today, there is a very good possibility that if we don't get ahead of it now, it could mushroom into a problem months down the road.
So then we do it proactive instead of having to react to something, because once we do have a problem, we've already got everything there, put it in place, and we're done.
Exactly.
And do it off based off commercial business or whatever, but leave the citizens of Kirby alone, because, I mean, we've got children running around doing that. I mean, there was one I saw on his...
I would have to defer back to the city attorney on the proper language, but I think commercially owned vehicles available for lease or rent.
Profit,
rent. You know, electrically powered.
That's what I said. Then we'd be proactive and get something put together now.
Correct. Right.
In the next couple of months.
To separate that type of vehicle from the little Razor scooter that I just bought my grandson to
Since those all have to be permitted, though, is there just something that we could say we're not going to permit you? I mean, I know that San Antonio, you know, we're just not going to give out anymore. And I'm only saying that because, again, it goes back to every time we pass an ordinance, a code ordinance, or every time, then our police force is the one that is tasked with enforcing it. And so, again, with a strapped force, it just, to me, continues to pile more and more and more. And then if they're on this call and they can't make this call, then all of a sudden the police department's not doing anything because they're on this call that's more severe than this one because somebody's on a scooter. And then we have this outcry that our department isn't doing anything. And then, you know, then it's up in arms. And, I mean, it's just if we continue doing these, I just want at least to give our staff the – at least the ability to combat those things, because it's unfair.
Well, Constable Pierce is correct. I think if we get ahead of it, the first thing, because like San Antonio and Austin, they didn't ask anybody. One day, all of a sudden, they're all over Austin. The chief in Houston is a good friend of mine. He used to be the chief in Austin. I called him because they talk about it. And that's what they didn't ask. They didn't do anything. They just came out and said, here.
Because I think at least if, you know, if we chose and it was an agreement to ban them, then at least the department would only have to look like, okay, that's there. It's not supposed to be. That's easy enough. But then when they have to sit there and say, okay, was it on a street that's 35 or more? Okay, was it within this lane? I mean, then it's all of these variables. And like I said, the department that is tasked with keeping order is always going to be the one that's going to look like they're not doing that because they can't keep up with it.
But that's easier to explain.
Right.
Well, it would be, to me, it would be easier to explain that than not having anything there when they actually needed it.
Exactly.
So I think by the end of March, you think that would be enough time to put to get something put together to present back?
To be, for a ban. Correct.
Well, it, either it's an ordinance or banning, however we need to do it. The easiest way for the department, the city, to handle that without putting more stress or strain on anything that we have.
Simplest language, but yeah, you're just
and
not going
to
do it.
I do like Chief's idea too to broaden that.
Yeah.
You know, in order
the
so
definitions.
That it fixes it.
Yeah.
So maybe the last meeting in March.
March is that?
But the do.
I think that's feasible. I think you know I was glancing over the ordinance from San Antonio that's in the material, and the definitions in that ordinance can be used to say this is what we don't want in the city of Kirby. Mm-hmm. And I think we can craft something that's going to be a lot shorter than San Antonio's ordinance and accomplish Councilman Pierce's idea. And I think, as you said, Mayor, the police department with a simple, clear ordinance, either they're allowed or they're not allowed, will make the enforcement aspect of it a lot easier.
So we get to put up a sign with a circle with a scooter with a line through it, right?
Councilmember Opinaka, what were your thoughts? I mean, this was...
Well, what I was going to say was, and I know it would be, it wouldn't really make Kirby look too good, but do we really want them? I mean, I don't know if we could... I don't know if we need them, but...
I mean, we're a little city. Why do you need to run around?
Where would they
yeah, should we ban them? Should we allow them?
We can't put them on the sidewalks because we got a mailbox in the middle of all of our sidewalks. So they'd have to be out in the streets, and most of our streets ain't drivable for cars.
Right.
You don't put a scooter on them on top of it all?
Well, can you see a rocket scientist at 6 o'clock trying to go down 78?
Yeah.
And it can happen.
Well, and that's why I was saying, because then our PD is tasked again.
And other services, EMS,
and
all these others.
And 78, we already know, is not well lit anyway. So, you know, that's...
When you have Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Dale Earnhardt Jr. at night, 6 o'clock, calling down there, yeah, pretty
so
much.
Since you brought it up, I mean, was that kind of where you were going with that as well, that you really don't see a need?
Well, I drive downtown every day extensively, and they're always getting in my way. They block the sidewalks. I have a daughter in a wheelchair, so I have a personal vendetta with those things. They block the sidewalks, and
you just want to
go and kick them out of the way because you can't push the wheelchair down the sidewalk.
Well, see, even just with those comments alone, I personally believe that, you know, with Councilmember Pierce and Councilmember Grant, you know, that, and also our attorney, that if we have something definitive, you know, and I would believe that by the end of March should be,
yeah,
you know, that way. And again, Chief can continue collecting data, or if he sees, you know, that's a problem. But I have to agree with you there too, and Jerry as well, because if you have it on the streets, the ones that we saw were set up, but...
Oh, they lay them down. They just dump them.
Right.
Well, but your truck is big enough. Just run over them.
I like the idea of, yeah, of impounding them. If they leave
yes.
them here, impound them.
Yes.
I'd like to see right. that on it. And then they'll have to come back and pick
least.
Them up. No.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion. We allow the city manager, along with city staff and lawyer, to come up with some sort of a regulation on prohibition of the electronic scooters or any other type of device that they deem would be a commercial
second.
Inside the city of Kirby.
We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Councilmember Grant. Is there any further discussion on this item? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Opelika?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes.
I just wanted to say to March, April agenda. That way it gives plenty of time. Thank you.
Item 9H, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2019-850, amending the fiscal year 2018-2019 municipal budgets of the City of Kirby. This is the second reading. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion. We approve ordinance number O-2019-850, amending the fiscal year budget from 2018 to 2019 for the City of Kirby.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Councilmember Lehman, to accept ordinance number O-2019-850, amending the fiscal year 2018-2019 municipal budgets of the City of Kirby. Is there any discussion?
Is this the amendment with the asphalt truck?
It is.
So along we're gonna with lay some on asphalt.
Any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
No.
Councilmember Opelika? Yes. Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
No.
Mayor Pierce? Yes. Item 9J, discussion and possible action. Discussion and possible action on increasing the age to purchase tobacco products from 18 to 21. Councilmember Grant had asked staff to research this from changing to increase the age from 18 to 21 to purchase tobacco products.
That's basically what I would like. It's pretty cut and dry on that one. Honestly, I just, you know, my wife has COPD because she didn't quit, and it's not a nice thing. And I mean, I understand that, you know, the biggest thing is, well, you're in the military, you can do this and that, but I think the more that we do to try to promote good health, as we passed another ordinance earlier, the other thing for the health, I don't see any problem. I don't know, Chief, how do you feel about it? Seriously.
That would be something that we would specifically look at the sellers. We have to consider whether to include in the ordinance possession of a tobacco product by a person under 21 years of age. I'd look at that, but I'd support it. I don't see too much of a problem with enforcement. We're already doing it at the 18
right.
Year level to bump it up a couple of years to 21. I don't think that's going to be more of a burden on us.
Mark, that wouldn't be hard to amend that?
I'm not sure whether we currently have an ordinance that even has age 18 in it.
I think we go by state law. Yeah.
If we do, then that is relatively simple. Again, we have a prototype to look at from San Antonio's ordinance. We probably have to make some changes to accommodate exactly where we would put it in our code of ordinances. But I also think that it might be helpful both for the retail community and the police department if the council would consider some kind of a delayed enforcement mechanism to allow time for people to be educated about it. Chief, that sound reasonable to you?
Yeah, I would completely agree with that.
I don't have a problem with that at all. Actually, because it would be, yeah, we'd be fair, but I mean, you know, it's just, to me, it's a health issue.
Okay, this item is to increase the age to purchase tobacco products from 18 to 21. So if somebody wants to entertain, if somebody wants to motion, I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion that we raise the age from 18 to 21 to purchase any tobacco product in Kirby.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Opelika, to increase the age to purchase tobacco products from 18 to 21.
And again, because this may become an ordinance, we really need to have it prepared, have it posted, have it on the agenda that it's an ordinance. I think, again, it would be more appropriate for this motion to be that the council directs the city manager and staff to prepare an ordinance to do this. We really didn't give the public notice that this would be adopted as an ordinance tonight because we didn't post the ordinance.
I'll amend my motion.
You're still second? Second. Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Apodaca. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layden?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldrich?
No.
Councilmember Pierce?
No.
Mayor Pierce?
No. Okay, that passes with four yeses and three nays. All right, item 9J, discussion and possible action on December 31st, 2018 firework calls to the Kirby Police Department. Every New Year's and every July 4th, cities around and communities are plagued with fireworks being shot off, even though it's illegal in those areas. So Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge had requested this item, and Chief had provided information on the calls for that, all the calls, not just those. Chief, would you like to?
What we try to do on every 4th of July and New Year's to try to combat that, like we did this year, we had an extra unit comprised of a two-man unit, one paid officer, one reserve officer, and after 10 o'clock, responding to fireworks calls is all we did. As you can see from that, we were individually dispatched out of 28 calls, but from going from the last call to the next call, they're stopping to address fireworks issues in between. We did send a photograph of the amount of fireworks that were confiscated from certain people. On those type of nights, it's just not Kirby. Bexar County, San Antonio, all the other agencies, they literally get inundated with 911 calls. The way our call system works right now, I can't go back and pull out individual calls without listening to the report in each one to know specifically how many fireworks calls that we have got. But we did put extra units on like we always do. And I guess if it is a concern to council, in future instances like this, we can look at putting even more officers on dedicated to dealing with just fireworks. So this is a problem that is countywide, not just localized to Kirby.
Yes, thank you, Chief. I had requested this because I was curious to see how many calls had come in. It had literally sounded like World War III. And with, you know, with being surrounded by San Antonio and Bexar County, with the close proximity of the fireworks stands that are so close to Kirby and everything else, I was just very curious of how many calls that came in, because I know that your department, the fire department, they work very hard at their jobs, and I am one of the first ones to advocate for both departments. And if there's something that the citizens or the council can do, please let us know to help combat this.
Unfortunately, I forget which president it was back in the 40s that during his election, he promised to put a cop on every corner. Short of doing something like that, this is going to be an endless battle. I can put four fresh units on. They can confiscate and write tickets all night long. But while they're at these four individual calls over here on this side of the city, our work's and we reminded me of a cartoon I saw of an army. I mean, they moved in a little cloud. You saw little spears and shields, and they went and handled this one. And meanwhile, it's happening over here, so we all run over here. And we try to do the best that we can to get as many of these issues addressed. I do know that the officers, they ran all night on that. And I will be more than happy to entertain. 4th of July is coming up. If we want to bulk up the staff beyond where we went, no problem putting, we had one extra two-man unit, I could put, make arrangements for two or three units solely dedicated to the fireworks. So, and that would be at the council's later.
And I mean, I don't even know that would combat it either because, I mean, again, you can't be on, what did we decide, there's 118 streets or something of that nature on every one. But I don't know, maybe as a collective group, we just start again before July 4th comes out and just remind people that, you know, I don't know, maybe we get with Chief Alfaro and we can start doing statistics. You know, maybe the family whose house burned down on Gordon Cooper would like to put a statement out, you know, about what fireworks meant to their home. You know, again, this problem is way bigger than our police department, but it is a community problem. And obviously, if the community obeyed the law that, or the ordinance, then our police department wouldn't be in a position to have to, you know, go off of this call to take this call, and while somebody, you know, is being severely harmed because they were busy with the fire call. I thought you were
going to
say something.
Well,
I don't want to.
No, you're fine. I was waiting for you. No, I remember 1 year, the city of San Antonio, a lot of the major stands had a policeman and a fireman, and if they drove from the stand into the city, they got stopped. And they confiscated them right there. That's prima facie evidence. I don't know if we could even consider that, but having this one right down here on Ben Zingelman kind of makes it real close.
We don't have the manpower.
But don't they also have an ordinance where they can't transport it into the city of San Antonio? We don't have that.
No.
We just can't pop them, right?
They can't have them in possession inside the city limits.
Right. Yeah. Actually, it's considered a bomb. But, I mean, you know, the thing is, I mean, they set some off on your street. That, I mean, they actually, my poor one dog, that's where she caught me right there when she jumped.
But maybe it's something, too, that we can join the surrounding communities as well and try to join forces to, again, people are going to, I mean, that's why we have a police department, and people are going to break the law. And there's not, I mean, we could have a police officer on every corner. It's still not going to completely do that.
No.
So, all right, is there any further discussion on this item? All right, at this time, I will take a short recess and close this meeting at 8:23. We'll reopen. We don't have much time.
Thank you.
We don't have much time. We're at 8:33.
We're ready.
You betcha.
All right. Item 9K, discussion and possible action on appointing members to the Senior Center Corporation Board. Do we have any applications?
Nope.
Right, so we don't. Item 9L, discussion and possible action on appointing members to the Beautification and Recycle Committee. Item 9M, discussion and possible action on appointing regular member and alternate members to the Buildings and Standard Commission. Item 9N. Discussion and possible action to accept Agatha Williams' resignation from the Planning and Zoning Commission effective immediately. I will turn this over to our city manager.
No.
Okay, Ms. Williams actually started working, and it's conflicting with the meetings, so she did verbally inform our city secretary that she would not be able to serve.
All right, I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I move that we accept Agatha Williams' resignation from the Planning and Zoning Commission effective immediately.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Wilson, seconded by Councilmember Grant, to accept Agatha Williams' resignation from the Planning and Zoning Commission effective immediately. Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
It wouldn't do any good to say no, would it?
You can say it if you want.
No.
Yes.
Mayor
Pierce.
Yes.
See?
But it didn't stifle your vote.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, ma'am.
Item 9-0, discussion and possible action on appointing members to the Planning and Zoning Commission. But we do have enough if all of them show up at the time for a quorum. All right. Okay, so the fact that we went through all of those with no applications, please everybody let everybody know that we have those positions available. The city staff set up a table outside to show what positions are available to try to display what we're looking for, so please pass on that information. Item 9P, discussion and possible action to determine city events for 2019. Again, I will turn this over to our city manager.
Was about events, whether they're going to be annual events for the city and who was going to be responsible for organizing and working those events. And so at that session, staff was asked to at least work on the 2019 events because we're already toward the end of January and we need to start making plans for what we will have this year. And so one suggestion was to get representatives from the community, staff, council, community organizations, current representatives on our boards and commissions to all come together in at least one meeting and decide what our calendar would be for this year. But in addition to that, talk about, okay, how is the planning going to go forward? Who's going to be responsible for these items? Because these are all wonderful events for our community, but it does take a lot of time and planning to put them together. So we made a list of the main 8 events that we have been doing recently, annually, and that's our movie in the park, which was scheduled to be quarterly, our Easter egg hunt, which had typically been the Sunday before Easter Sunday, the annual fireman's picnic, which is already rolling in place. We know that the fire department handles that. They've already started working on that event, which would be May 4th and 5th. Is that correct? 3rd and 4th, May 3rd and 4th. And then fireworks in the park, staff did submit the funding request for the fireworks to our title sponsor, which has been HEB. And we received notice, actually, that HEB funded our fireworks. So we do have that portion, we just got that information. And then National Night Out, which has been an annual event that the police department has put together for the first Tuesday in October. And then we've had, this event has had 2 names, Cookies with Santa and Christmas in Kirby, which we've had in December. And the Crime Control Prevention District has typically been the group responsible for organizing that event. Our annual Santa Parade, the Sunday before Christmas, the fire department is prepared to continue doing that event. That's a Kirby tradition that everyone loves. And then we've been getting a lot of requests the last 2 years to bring back the holiday lighting contest. And we do know that the beautification committee has expressed interest in taking that on if for them to do that.
And I would, I'm actually going to, Chief has no idea I'm going to say this, but last night at the Crime Control Board, one of the requests from one of the members was for involvement for the crime control. Just to get out, and because they do this, so since the movie in the park is generally a night event, I thought that maybe Crime Control would also like to partner with that, not to run it, but at least to be there so that they can have something there. So that's something, Chief, if you know you would take that back, maybe that's something that you guys would be interested in too.
So we can have popcorn with the popo?
Believe it or not, that works.
That's an actual event.
That's a good one.
It is.
Well, and actually when he made that suggestion this morning, then another thought came in, and that was, what if we asked different organizations to sponsor a movie night? So if we were going to do them quarterly, then that's four organizations a year that can come in and say, I'll take this one on. And that would mean they could set up and sell concessions, and they could keep the profit for that. If they choose, they could sponsor the movie, and then we would only have to worry about actually setting up and breaking down the equipment.
That would work.
I also, you know, still think it's a great opportunity for us to also be, you know, in the community and being active and engaged as well. The Easter egg hunt, I think, is that's something that Parks and Rec started. I think that that's always well received, and I think that's something that collectively that we should all be responsible for, because that's what we're all here for, is the community. So
well, anytime that you can get citizens together and you can pass out information.
The Easter egg hunt is always well received.
Oh, yeah.
People come out and the little ones are getting their little eggs, and we do seem to have a receptive to people donating the Easter eggs and the candy and those kinds of things.
I think each council member should pick an event and kind of head it.
I'll take Easter egg. Come on. I've done it before.
Do we know, are we going to set time or dates for these right now?
Yes, I would like for us to decide, are we going to have all eight, or are we going to just have a few of these, and then yes, we should pick.
I personally believe that all of these are crucial to our community.
I agree.
And something that people look forward to.
Yep.
And as we know from the holiday lighting contest, if it's not there,
The holiday lighting can be worked in with the Santa parade.
Yeah.
Another thing that's been brought up to me, you know, we're talking about people lighting up their houses and stuff for Christmas. But let's think back. Our city don't put up one light for the city. I know years ago we talked about it. We even found out what one of these metal collapsible trees would cost, and have it mounted like at the fire department out there in the front where everybody can see it. And everything is just all
talked about that also at the workshop, because we were talking about the area at by Ben Zingelman and Charles Conrad and Alan Shepard at that area, yeah. Because that's as close to the square as we had. And several years ago, myself and Chief, after one of their, I think we called it the chocolate social, hot chocolate social. You know, we were out there talking because the gazebo, I had just seen some movie where they lit up the gazebo, and that was like the big thing that everybody waited for. But that was also mentioned in some of the comments too, you know, as far as that. But again, it went back to, this is something that it takes time, so we can't just decide in December that, hey, we're going to do this, because we have to have a budget for it as well, which is always an issue. Obviously, it's not cheap, but we have all of the decorative lighting there.
Didn't one year we had lights on our water tower?
We had them this year, too.
Right there. If I may, I go, because I'm working in Sabinal with the police, through Hondo. In Hondo, every business on both sides of the highway, they allow every business there to set up a little, and it's pretty cool, because, I mean, it's like seven blocks. And every business has got a little deal set up for them.
So as far as these pieces, I would suggest that, like you said, maybe if somebody's charged with it. Now, of course, we have an election coming up, so that the person's responsible could change. So that may be something, you know, if any new people are on.
I will say this. If I am not reelected, if I am assigned to a task, I will finish it out.
And that's it, you know, and that's the same thing that I would do if I signed
up. If somebody wants to run, sign up.
Yes. Same here. Here's the thing. You're only as good as your word.
That's the only reason I bring that up, because if that name goes on here, you know, and everybody moves forward with that, then at that point, if somebody's not back on here, I just, you know, wanted to make sure that we knew, because then staff again is stuck with the oath.
Yeah, it falls back on them. Yeah. No.
Well, really, I mean, it should be theirs too, but.
I can say, really, though, if you're going to look at it, the firemen are going to do their own picnic. You know, the staff just has to assist, but the firemen are organizing it. And National Night Out is organized by the PD. They have their own group that does it, and Crime Convention helps with that. And the cookies in Christmas is also Crime Convention.
I think at one time Parks and Rec had a play in that as well.
They did. They brought in the cookie. Did they bring in cookies and hot chocolate?
Initially, the first year, we called it Christmas in Kirby, and it was supposed to be all of the...
It was a group, a collective group, correct?
That was the same year we tried to get the choirs from the churches. Yes. And it didn't work. That was the first year that Parks and Rec, during that, the Crime Control District brought in Santa and the photographs. They brought in the hot cocoa and the cookies. And it just kind of evolved into a much smaller event than we had originally conceived.
And Easter's before the election anyway.
And then you have the Santa Parade again that's brought on by the fire department. So you're just looking basically at the movies and the Easter egg hunt that you have to have somebody there to keep pushing it.
Mm-hmm.
And getting donations.
Right.
And, you know, advertising. And so, but with the city could still continue with the advertising and those pieces.
And the donations, looking for the donations for it.
Well, I know the
and
last time I did
department
it,
will I know always
somebody loaded
have
a whole bunch of eggs.
There, so.
Yeah.
Thank you, police department.
You're such a nice guy.
I know different.
So do we have, are we going to set times for these as well?
It would be good if we can,
okay.
We can do that.
I just didn't know if we want to do it in this forum right now or, all right, movie in the park. We have to do when it's dark if we're doing them at night. So depending on the fall back and spring forward.
Yeah, I do believe last year it was the same day as the Easter egg hunt.
Yep.
Well, and then they we're going to have one for Halloween. That's the same time as that other thing happens.
The trunk?
No, that shooting thing.
Oh, the reenactment.
If we're going to do the reenactment, then we need to wait and see what dates they're going to do where we can do the...
When you said shooting, I was like...
Yeah, well, they were shooting at each other.
Yeah.
Before we sign one in for that quarter, we need to see, you know, when they're going to do it, unless we're going to do one for Thanksgiving, or then it's too cold in December to sit outside.
Wait a minute, we're talking
maybe
about
we should
fireworks.
Just
we're going to let people shoot at each other?
Dates to come.
So movie in the park, theoretically, though, the next one is, if we're going to do them every quarter, March, from now until March.
Yep.
So March, we will probably have a better bet at warmer weather.
Do it the last Friday of spring break or the Friday before spring break?
Let's see when opening day is for baseball. That could be either in March or April.
Usually a Little League.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's April, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, if those are the variables that we want, then we probably, I mean, if we're saying we need to look for this and we need to look for that, we may not have those. Yes, without those schedules, it would be.
I was going
to
say, if we've done
I'm just saying, I don't want to just keep going in circles and then say, oh, well, what about this?
You know, right, you know, but I don't want to schedule something and say, well, you know, these other people have something already.
No, I
that
agree.
Time.
That's why I'm saying that, you know, dates
maybe,
probably aren't.
Why don't we
just do months for now? mean, they're there already, so.
Yeah.
But as far as the quarterly movie in the park, March.
Do we feel like we want to have it four this year? Or?
I don't see how we could have four.
City manager brought up about getting with the different departments because you'd have PD.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about because it's cold? Or yes. Because of the weather? Because if you go into the colder is what, I think that's what she's talking about, not the.
So if we want to have one for the spring, maybe we just say we want to do it in March and then let crime control determine.
There you go.
And then one at the pool in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And then one right before school starts.
We're talking movie in the park, right?
Yeah, okay.
Do we need to get verification first on on those times? Because, again, we can't sit and say crime control is going to do this. We can say...
But if they're doing the first one, if they're not necessarily doing all of them, but for sure...
Well, that's something that they'd have to have.
I'd be safe stepping up and saying, I was actually in my calendar looking in June, you know, a summertime one. But, I think that could coerce the crime control district and the bus officer to host the meeting.
Will there be a junior police academy at any time this year?
With Samantha moving on to bigger, brighter future, I'm not 100% sure. Yes, we want to do it, but we're thinking more summertime like it was the first couple of
times. I was just wondering, as far as that event, if we pushed it even to the summer, because Kim had said before school. So, all right, so for sure March.
June. Or August. Before school.
March, June, and August. So mm-hmm. We're saying not necessarily quarterly, but those would be three that we would have this year.
Yeah.
Okay. And we'll reach out to organizations and give them. They're going to be a council liaison for the movies also.
Easter's April 21st. So Easter egg hunt is this Sunday, so April 14th. Is that the date? Yes, April 14th. Are we going to put times to this now?
Okay. Well, I'm trying to think. I was going
to
say, let's look at last year's flyer. 1 to 3, I think, was last time. Didn't we have the different categories of the little kids?
Right.
And then we divided it off? Because that's what we did way back. Yeah. Okay. So, 1 to 3? That's only 2 hours. Think that's enough?
So let me go back now. I know we said March, June, August for the movie in the park, but are we coinciding a Easter egg hunt with the movie? Or no, we're not going to.
Sounds like that's just going to be its own event.
Okay.
You got 30,000 kids trampling grass.
I'll be in charge of the fireman's picnic. No, I'm joking. That was a joke.
Chief.
And we know July 4th, it's on a Thursday this year.
Yes.
And if it's on a weekday, I cannot be there. So I'm sorry I would be out.
I will say if staff is going to have to fully roll this out like we did last year, I would propose that it not start until later in the day.
I agree.
Good idea. Well, yeah.
We're mm-hmm. wasting a lot of staff time during the day.
Yep.
And people do not come out until much closer.
I mean, generally speaking, they're coming out just for the fireworks.
Yes. Sure. That and 30 cakes set up in the park? No? Just a thought.
No, I can come after work is over, but... if we have it later.
You can put me down on that one, Monique.
I mean, I can help coordinate. I just won't be there until I get off work.
So the only one that doesn't have a specific date would be the
What if we do that the Sunday before the parade? Or the Saturday before the parade? Are you moving it up just like you did this year, Chief?
The 22nd would be, generally speaking, it was the 22nd. If it was the Sunday before Christmas, the parade would be the 22nd.
And I would think that it
would be 22nd would probably be all right. We did it this year, we did it earlier just because the Christmas Eve would have been Monday. So it was like Sunday parade, Monday. I wanted everybody to be able to have at least the last weekend if they needed to do last minute shopping, then to have everybody come out for the parade to participate in that and lose a Sunday of shopping.
Aren't we going to be in the same situation? What?
No, this year you have at least 23rd, 24th. So.
It's in between it.
Okay.
So the Saturday before that would be the 21st. So that would kick off that.
Now, if it's going to turn into lighting up the park, I would think we would do it sooner.
Kind of like San Antonio does, you know, on the Friday after Thanksgiving. I mean, to get enough, you know.
Well, we're talking.
The 7th of December.
But are we start? We're talking about lighting, or we're talking about having
lighting
in with that.
Kirby being an event in the park where you light up the park and have Santa.
Okay. So it's not just cookies. So we're calling it Christmas and Kirby, not Cookies with Santa.
Yeah, that's what we want.
Okay. Sorry, I was stuck on cookies with Santa.
Are you hungry for cookies?
No. It's just us first.
That's going to be crime control's decision, I guess.
Well, I'm going to have to run it by him to see exactly how they want to do it. But if we're going to do the Christmas parade on the 22nd-ish, then maybe, you know, cookies with Santa the 14th or the 15th.
I'm saying, if y'all want to do the parade on the 15th, I can. It's too close to that weekend or whatever?
I don't think it's too close. I mean, because traditionally it's always been the Sunday
before. Sunday before Christmas.
Yeah.
I understand why last year it was like that, but I mean, traditionally it's always been the Sunday before Christmas. So I don't
know it.
Uh-huh. I don't think that the fire parade or Santa parade needs to be moved.
Yeah, because you get too far out, you know.
And people know when it is.
Yeah, they pretty much
do.
But if we're going to coincide a Christmas, but again, that's going to have to look at budget, because if we're talking about lighting up the Kirby, then we're going to have to go look into budgeting, because it's going to be an expense to buy, because it's not like we have a Christmas tree, lights, or, you know, decorations laying around. For, you know, of that magnitude. I mean, not here, but I mean.
Can I ask, are we thinking about doing this at the gazebo?
That's probably the most logical place, you think?
Yes.
Because, I mean, that to me is the closest thing we have to really a square.
But before we use the gazebo, I think that we have to ask the senior center permission to use the gazebo, because they purchased the gazebo.
I think we're just talking about at that area, though, not necessarily
the gazebo.
The gazebo, yeah.
I don't think they'd say no if we wanted to put lights on it.
But we have the decor of lighting. I mean, red bows or something, you know, just on that with white lights too. But again, that's going to be an expense that we haven't budgeted for.
What happened to the green tree lights?
Well, I donated that.
I know you did.
I used to do that in my backyard.
Right. I bet you there's a box in that garage somewhere.
They very well be.
Yeah.
That was like 50 strands.
Yeah, well, I remember there's a bunch. Yeah.
I mean, and again, we could probably ask as well, you know, hey, this is our community lighting, if anybody wants to participate as well.
If it didn't go in the garage sale.
Lots of people may have lights that they would donate.
Well, that's
street lights,
I mean.
White lights to put up in the trees and things. Yeah.
Yep.
And I know a kid in Kirby that absolutely loves to decorate.
I wonder where he lives. Artistic talent, use it. Which?
I would say the 7th.
I would say the 7th.
If we're going to decorate the 7th.
Yeah, 7th, yep. You might as well get ahead of it.
Cookies would stand on the 7th.
And decoration.
Providing that crime control is okay with that?
Yeah. Okay. I don't foresee that being a problem. We had a problem with quorum, so I talked to just three of them on my own, so we didn't come up with, you know, we weren't talking more. And this year I just picked the day and we went with it. So I really don't think that they will agree to whatever date I propose.
I think I believe that.
Okay, so the Santa Parade is December the 22nd?
Yep.
As far as the December 7th, sorry, I skipped the time. What time do we want? Again, if we're going to light, it has to be dark. However, but that's what I'm saying, but the children, you don't really...
7-ish?
Yeah, at least 7, 6:37.
But that's what I'm saying, it's cold and you're going to have kids.
Bonfire. What?
Your restrictions.
I mean, the whole, if we're going to, but I'm just saying, if we're going to keep it in the same setup that it was, it's the police department has pictures with Santa. Santa comes in on the police car, or with the police car. Santa comes in, there's caroling, different things. So I'm just saying it's typically been a day event.
Yes.
And if we're lighting it in conjunction with that, then it's going to be a night event. So...
What were the hours of the cookies with Santa from last year?
Last year, remember, it was like 2 to 4.
Yeah. 2 to 4. So
4 to 6, and then have the lighting.
Yeah.
Because aren't the kids out of school yet, right?
They are.
Christmas break.
No.
No, not on December 7th.
It's a Saturday. So they have
Saturday.
Sunday.
Okay, I've got you. All right.
And I think the first couple of years we did it because we, like the first year, we had that big green Christmas tree. It was like 4 to 8,
right,
was what we scheduled, and we ended up cutting it early because we were outside and the weather was cold and drizzly, so we ended up cutting it up, ending a little early. But I don't have a problem with it scheduling a little bit later in the evening to more coincide, you know, pictures with Santa, and we go outside, light a tree, do the lighting ceremony. You know, maybe if we can get with one of the churches, maybe True Vision or Kirby Baptist, to have one of the choirs there, you know, 4 or 5 Christmas carols. And
I think Kirby Baptist also caroled, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Like physically caroled door to door, though, for the people that wanted them there. But that's probably not a bad idea. You said 4 to 6, so then if people wanted to be there, they could for Santa, but if they didn't want to stay in the cold, they could leave then. Afterwards would be the light up.
And you never know. It may be cold and it may be not.
It'd be snowing.
And
snowing.
So the...
I'll believe it when I see it.
The Santa parade is 5:30, Chief? Right? 5?
That's what time we leave the station.
Okay. So...
Are you good on candy?
The holiday lighting contest, if beautification, because Barbara Herb has did express the interest to me too at our workshop. So I wouldn't really want to as a staff and city, we would have to get the information out way before just to let people know, number one, that it's happening, and then there would have to be plenty of time for them to know, okay, I have to have my lights ready this day because they're coming by.
I would say the entries need to be in by November 15th so they could be ready to go on December 1st.
So I think that we should just put this on their next meeting agenda and then give them those suggestions and kind of let them come up with their criteria, their time frame.
Your liaison, right? And when's their next
there's
one?
There's also a suggestion for just not just residential, but we've been contacted about a commercial lighting contest as well, so they may need to have two categories.
Did we have more than the
first Tuesday of every month?
Did we have more than one business ask about that? Okay. Well, that's more than one.
Well, I know the bank would do it in a heartbeat. So, and you've got some. But I want to know one thing: what we're going to have eggnog with Santa? Adult eggnog with Santa.
All right. So that will be through that. So beautification. All right. We need to cover anything else? Okay. We will move to item 9Q.
Q.
Discussion and possible action on interlocal agreement and ground lease with Bexar County for the Kirby Bear Animal Facility. Which one am I turning it over to? You or Mike? Okay.
We actually received a letter yesterday that you have a copy of from the Bexar County District Attorney's Office. The attorney is assigned to this project that our city attorney, Mark Shaw, has been working with. And basically just lays out a discussion that I had with the county manager sometime last week where we talked about we would just terminate our current agreement and the county would go on and run their operations out of their facility. And the city would go back to running our operations out of our facility. We would not share any resources at all. So that would include the staff, the funding, everything would be separated. So I guess from a legal standpoint, I'll let Mr. Schnall tell us what we need to do, if anything, at this point.
Well, it certainly is a governing body decision as to whether to implement the letter, implement the proposal in the letter dated January 23rd. I will tell the council that you may or may not recall that we had a meeting in October where I was asked to send a letter to the county to express the city's concerns about the facility. And I did that, and in my letter I said, the city is open to an early agreed termination of the interlocal agreement that would result in the city operating its animal care services from the pre-existing city-owned building at 5503 Duffick Drive, and the county operating its animal care services using the building constructed for the county at 5510 Duffick Drive. And between when they got that letter on about November 2nd, it took them about 90 days to say, that's a pretty good idea.
They're a little slow.
And they had sent another letter to us in early December, five weeks or so after my letter was sent, patting themselves on the back for having done one of the things that we complained about, and then having two or three pages of complaints they had about the city. So I think that the city manager's discussion with County Manager David Smith was very productive to get them off the track of complaining and back on the track of let's find a way to resolve this problem. So from a legal standpoint, I think that the governing body does need to take formal action, not necessarily tonight, because one of the things I think we need to flesh out with the county is what would be the implementation time. And I've had some discussions with the city manager about that, primarily because it's a combination of making sure we have adequate staff to do what we need to do, make sure that there's a time for transition, and make sure that we have found the dollars, allocated the funds or reallocated the funds to cover the costs that we will incur. Because it's my understanding from my discussion with the city manager that this will result in the need for a budget amendment to increase the amount the city is going to budget during the current fiscal year for the operation of the animal facility, even if it's just our doing it at our old building. And I think the time period that the city manager and our finance director had talked about was to implement this effective April 1, so that it would only affect the last 6 months of the current fiscal year budget. So I think that the issues are timing, and I think before the governing body takes action, we ought to coordinate with the county the time so that at your meeting on either February 14th or February 28th, the council can take formal action to implement the separation with an effective date. So I think the city manager can comment on the budget issues or our finance director.
That's true. And staff started meeting this week to just kind of put together our plan of operation and look at the numbers. So we just have some really preliminary numbers. But what we know we need to do before we move back into our building and become fully operational, we want to make sure we take care of any needed maintenance, repairs, or upgrades in the building, that we make sure we have all the supplies and items that we need. So we've been out doing an inventory of what we have. We want to revisit vendor agreements that we had prior to, so that we make sure we have that set up for vet services, food, crematory, all of those types of things. So we are moving quickly. We're trying to have all of that ready. So we could most likely on the 14th of February present to you a draft of what that budget would look like. Currently, as far as staffing, we have four employees already on staff that are budgeted this year dedicated to our animal services. That's the one animal control officer and three kennel technicians. So we're still moving forward with the idea that we would have four staff persons. We have to, you know, maybe move some of those positions around, but that's the number that we're going to work with.
So what about the position that we budgeted for the fourth one? For the fourth kennel tech.
Also in the budget.
Right.
So it may be that we don't need that position, or we look at making that something different if we feel there's a difference.
That's the new hire that hasn't started yet, right?
Right.
Right.
Yep.
We have four budgeted kennel techs, three on staff, and one animal control officer.
Then we just have to revisit the vet services, food, and that. It's not bad.
How should I word this?
But for right, we have four budgeted kennel techs right now, but only three that are employed.
Are we going to have anything in there, something like non-compete where they can't jump or something to go to the other side?
We have the kennel techs in our budget, all the full cost up front. The county has the manager full cost up front, and so they would need to look for additional staff as well. Now, one thing to keep in mind, we have all four of those positions budgeted, but then, of course, that takes into account the county paying a portion of those.
Right.
So we do think what we were looking at today, we may not necessarily change the amount funded for staff because, you know, if we have four and we fully fund those four, and right, there's no support from the county on that, we still have enough money in the budget to do that. We may not change that dollar amount. We would just look at decreasing maybe some of the other areas. Like we have the line item that we pay the contract service.
So once the county's out of the picture, we won't need to be paying them anything.
Absolutely.
Right. So we would just have a budget for right, our operations. Okay.
And then, so because of that, before we actually split, even if we have that. So how does it deviate then if we're joint? So how do we decide when we separate which percentage of this is ours and which percentage of theirs is theirs? Like with the food, if we're paying for food or if we're paying for supplies, how do we determine, like, because it's not dollar figure, it's actual items, you know, let's say bleach or Clorox or what have you, that, okay, well, five of those or 30 of those are ours, that kind of thing. I mean, I know it's going to get muddy, but these are things because, I mean, when people donate, we're donating, you know, our community, generally speaking, the donations are coming from Kirby to the shelter. So at that point, if those donations are being made, then at what point do they come back, because we won't have anything even though we're paying a percentage since it's being housed there.
I think the only way we'd be able to do that is to make an effective date. I mean, we could right, very well say we cease operations
a certain day and that's it.
X date, and then we start collecting our own donations right, and gathering our items, but correct, then we don't actually open up our Kirby
animal facility until...
Which I get that piece, but I'm talking about money that's already spent and something's not used.
Yes.
Vaccinations, you know, that vaccinations or microchips or anything else that are sitting, not being used, but we've already put money into that. That's what I'm saying. It's going to get really...
Well, you'd have to do it on an 80-20 basis because we're participating 20% and they're 80. You'd almost have to do a physical inventory of what is there at a certain date and say, okay, as of this date, we got our 20%, you have your 80%. And our vaccinations, whatever's there, that's how, because that's the way that market, we're not correct, it was 80-20 all the way through, right?
I'm looking right now.
Okay, yeah. And I see it's exactly what you're saying.
If there's not something, it doesn't specifically state that.
No, I don't think it does anywhere.
No,
but
we'd
have to talk it out. We'd have to come to that.
That's a good example of something that would need to be fleshed out in
right.
discussion.
That's what he's talking about, yeah.
Between the city manager or her designee and someone at the county.
Well, that's why I'm bringing it up now, since we're not actually making, I want, you know, our city manager to at least know those pieces that we're,
right.
you know, looking at asking as well. Because, I mean, the pieces, obviously, were acquired. The things that are over there were acquired jointly.
Right.
And certainly an argument could be made that on day one, probably more of what was used on day one came from the original Kirby inventory.
Oh, yes. There's no doubt about it.
As opposed to, you know, what might be happening now. 2-3 years into this arrangement. So I think it's a subject to discuss. I would suggest we start the discussion at splitting it 50-50 and seeing where that goes.
Sure. You think if we picked it, say like you pick an arbitrary date, you say, okay, as of this date, we separate. So at that point in time, you've done an inventory of everything, and then it goes 50-50. Would that make sense?
That's kind of what I was thinking pretty much along those lines. And if that date is going to be, for example, March 31st is the last day of the joint operation, then there would need to be an inventory taken as soon, you know, on or as soon before March 31st as
Correct.
Feasible. And then we just split what's there on whatever percentages we can get to an agreement with.
Well, my personal position is the sooner the better.
Sure.
So as soon as our facility
is ready,
I mean, like yesterday. So, you know, the specific things that need fixed in the city's facility to get those done, and immediately when it's done, that we give ourselves a timeline, and that's when we go. Oh. Not, you know, the other pieces, you know, that's beside the point. But, I mean, the further we keep going and, okay, April 1, okay, that gets it through whole February, all of March, kitten season and everything else is coming. I'm just saying it's going to be inundated and it's going to be, oh, well, I'm not going to vet this because that's y'all's. Oh, I'm not going to vet this because it's April 1, you know, or it's March 31st. It came in after hours and we weren't able to do it. So, I mean, we're just going to get into – I just don't want – the city of Kirby residents and any animal services there to be impeded because we're going to sit there and draw this big line and say, oh, no, I'm not touching that. I mean, I think we need to have an out before, you know, to know exactly where we're going with that. And as soon as our building is ready, I think that's when we, you know, we move.
Yeah.
And maybe it's something that we let our community know as of this date we're not, you know, not taking it or intake or what have you, that, you know, we're going to have a reopening or however we want to portray it.
Donations to
yes.
the Kirby mm-hmm. shelter, and we are on the right-hand side of
well,
the...
Well, and to break that confusion, I had even suggested to our city manager that donations be somewhere other than the shelter itself, because to your point, then that gets confusing too. Are you over here or are you over here? You know, so there's a lot of pieces, I think, that need to be worked out as far as that piece. But as I think for the city's, you know, the city's involvement, I personally think the sooner we're out of there, the better. I mean, to me, April 1 is too long.
Are we going to have them change their name?
Well, that's...
It'll change. It will change because
well,
that's
well,
part of the agreement.
I mean, technically, all they have to do is take off the Kirby. Yeah. I mean, it's there, but...
We still have to get new signage and everything else,
but
especially
I'm just
for the
saying,
location.
I think
that would be their expense.
No, for them, like for us.
We're working on the cost estimates. We'll have to change the signage. We know we'll probably look at changing our hours. We need to sign for that. We need to do some work, like I said, inside the building. We're going to have to start fresh with ordering new supplies. Because I didn't even think about that piece about are they going to give us portions of what's all
well, they should.
Because I was looking at it as if we pay them back on a quarterly basis. So, for example, we've provided them our expenses for October, November, and December. So then they'll turn back around and invoice us for our portion of that. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at, okay, January, you give us that amount, and then really we know we're moving towards splitting, so we don't want any additional invoicing from them for additional operations. We want to cease and then start moving toward our
Has the plan. Quarantine fee already been paid to the city?
It's broken out monthly.
Because that's another thing. I mean, that's something that they pay the city that we, I mean, that would be something that we wouldn't. I just personally believe that the sooner that we get into our own facility, the better. I mean, the cosmetics can come later, but potentially, you know, the signage or what have you. But I think our main focus should be getting the kennels up and running. And
What's the most pressing thing to get done, to do business, would you say, at the moment?
Well, that's going to be just making sure we have the vendor set up. I guess that's the most pressing.
The vendors, I think, would be the most important. The food supply and the vet and that kind of thing, have that ready to go. Hello.
Sorry.
And then, in other words, we just need to get to go clean up, set up the vendors, and we can do business.
What game are you playing?
I'm not.
It's a twist. But that would be the most logical thing. And then do an inventory. We should be allowed to go in. Are they still using the trailer
There's nothing over there that's ours. Okay. Like, that belongs to the city and theirs.
Okay.
The inventory was done already.
Okay. But. And the we still have our food trailer that we bought, right, that we kept our food in that.
In the back, yes.
Okay. So actually, then all we got to do is clean up, prep, move in, and that's it. We can worry about signs, like you say, painting signs, those kind of things can come around.
I mean, in the original building, it still says Kirby Animal Shelter.
Yeah, I was going to say, we didn't have to change that sign.
Still says that. So.
Well, I mean, signage and stuff like that really and truly is kind of unimportant, as you say. Let's get over there, and we can work around, you know, the other things, right?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's just a matter of, I just don't want something, oh, well, no, this didn't happen because it was on this day, you know.
Or they come to us after the fact.
Well, that'll be.
Well, I think that's what Mark was saying, and we'll have that agreed on and fleshed out.
I'm saying supplies, when we buy supplies, you don't use the supplies. They're not used right at that moment.
Right.
So, I mean, you don't buy just 3 gallons of Dawn, you know, thinking that's going to be those 2 days or a day. You know, you're going to be buying bulk. So if you've already paid that percentage, you know, that's the only thing I'm saying is that.
Well, do you feel like then obviously we have paid a percentage of the inventory of disinfectant supplies, paper supplies, all that
I'm
stuff
not
that's
sure
over there?
Because we keep asking for donations of bleach and Dawn, so I don't know if anything.
Stuff like that. Just
let it go.
Forget it and move on.
Okay, I think that she's got the right idea.
You're not talking that much money for
how long
a case of Dawn or something.
How just long would it be then to put enough supplies and food to set up and go, do you think?
I mean, I guess the next step is for us to go back and just agree on an effective date and
go from there.
Have a document that says that, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you know, it's an agreement. It had a 5-year term. We're going to agree to terminate it early. So we need an agreement to terminate the agreement early.
And then to lay out what they're now responsible for on that area.
Correct. But do you feel like there is a bunch of stock down there then? Of state, no. Okay. All right. Then that's
walked in one time. There was maybe one.
Yeah, cut the losses.
Bag of signs died. There was no bleach, no detergent of any kind for washing anything.
Well, then just cut the losses and let's go.
Volunteer.
Okay. So set an arbitrary date. Let's come back this way then.
So when did they say they'd meet with you, or?
We had not. So we got this letter yesterday, right. And we knew it was on our agenda for today, and we did that. So we've not scheduled a meeting.
So we'll call them tomorrow to schedule a meeting? I just think the sooner the better, so that we can.
You're right. Report.
I had every intention of going through this. I mean, before knowing this, I had every intention of going through and disputing half of these things. I mean, one of the things they said is that in our meeting that I never said what we wanted, and from the time that Monique and I sat in there, I said we want out.
Yeah. So we can get it done to minimize
anything.
There's
kind of just, it's at an impasse, and there's, you know, I was very specific, which is why I got the response from Renee was, well, it's your prerogative to go back to your kennel, you know, to your, I think she said 10 kennels.
Your 10 kennels.
You know, so yeah. Again, that was, I mean, from day one, that is exactly what I said. So the other stuff to Mark's, it was just.
Well, her mistake was not knowing the other side and how specific you are. That was something she took.
Like I said, I just think the sooner the better.
Oh, great.
Periods, because then, I mean, as we continue, it's going to be awkward anyway. Knowing that we're going to split, it's going to be awkward.
March 1?
Well, but you're still going to have to consider that you have to take the bids to paint the building, to make sure air conditioning, you know, that's going to be at least 3 to 4 weeks to get all of that done.
Well, we don't need air right now.
I was going to say that, yeah, you could get to have it checked now.
But you have to have it all checked, and the rodents checked, and the plumbing done. I would say at least a month to get your bids and all of that done.
March
1? And to move it in. March 1st.
Yeah, March 1st looks good.
Right. I would say March the 1st.
Yeah, that's logical.
But you're at the end of January. So I would say March the 1st, we should be in our own building.
Yep, that'd work.
Let me just figure out what we need to do after that.
Correct, you're right. Everything else, I think John can be handled after that.
And you could probably talk to them between now and then and set up a meeting with them and get the paperwork done.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that the best course of action this evening is the city manager, I think, has already heard, and I've certainly heard, that y'all want to be, you know, have this separation taken and completed as soon as possible. But I just don't think tonight we have enough information to know whether we can do this by, say, March 1st. Maybe we can, maybe we can't. I think it would make more sense for us to have an agenda item on your February 14th agenda where, you know, the city manager by then will have a much better idea about taking care of the things that Councilman Wilson just mentioned. And also we will have had a chance to discuss with the county, you know, some kind of an agreement about the timing. And at the same time, we can talk about the what I'll call, for lack of a better description, inventory. And like the mayor, I had written notes about my concerns about the comments that the county made in its December letter because they just didn't match up with my records. So I do think overall that this is the best result for the city that we could have hoped for. I only wish we had gotten to this point 60 days ago, mm-hmm. But we're here now, so we'll follow up. And as Ms. Vernon said, you know, this letter came in at like 3:30 yesterday afternoon, approximately. So we wanted to bring it to the governing body's attention. I think both Ms. Vernon and I felt that the governing body would be very supportive of an early termination. But we wanted to get some guidance, and I think we have enough information for me to contact the assistant district attorney and try to get a meeting set up with the principals, whether that's Ms. Vernon and Mr. Winter or Ms. Vernon and Renee Green. Mm-hmm. We'll just see.
Either of those are bad choices, really.
So we don't have to take any action on this, correct, Mark?
Correct.
Okay. So we will move to item 9R, discussion and possible action on digital signage at the corner of FM 78 and Old Seguin Road. Councilmember Grant, I don't know if Monique wants to take it. You want to take it?
Well, the good news is the bank will underwrite $10,000. And as soon as we want it, whenever we want it. And There's, Monique was going to look into what the different figure was, the difference.
Right, so we pulled the original cost estimate, and the option that you all were leaning for was option one, which is $12,868. We did contact the vendor and make it work. This model was still available, and that this price would still be honored. They also gave us some installation costs, which is something we didn't have before. They said they would install it for $71.94 an hour if we want to program it ourselves, and $98.24 an hour if they have to program it. Now, one question that we did send back to them, and we're waiting on a response. This quote says that it's 4G wireless communications, and we know 4G is actually being phased out. And everyone's moving to 5G, so we want to know, is this still going to work when that's phased out, or is that going to require some kind of upgrade or additional costs of work?
And that would be something that I would like to ask, too, is that we figure out, again, because since it's not, I mean, even if the donation covered the expense of the sign, it still doesn't cover the continual maintenance. Because otherwise we would be in a situation like we've been without it. So I'd like to see if we can put a dollar figure to a continual maintenance of it.
I think there's a 5-year warranty on it. I believe it's what it is, isn't it? I think it's what the guy, but anyway, we'll see. Yeah.
Well, but also if somebody's having to program it or put the stuff in it, then it's
and they did say, because before we would have to literally go out there with a flash drive. So this one is something that you can do from your computer.
Right.
They did say.
Yeah. I've already talked to the chief of FARO about that. He said he had no problem in doing that, in handling that end of it.
Chief, did you say that?
I guess. I don't remember. I mean, I got the quotes for the sign 3 years ago, so I don't really don't remember.
I'm all about asking when names are dropped. You know?
I'd be all with it to get the install and get it all done, and then they show me how to do it. I don't know if I can.
It doesn't have to be now, but it doesn't have to be. So you don't have to go out there now. It can be.
Oh, yes, right.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the first thing I asked the guy.
So that's something that could be handled here.
Yes. Yep.
What did we originally quote pass on? Before this, on council, on the agenda we had that night, because this is the second one. There was one that was prior to this that I was
cost estimate.
Uh huh. And yes, then we already passed how much we would allow if he got so much money donated. I thought we already said that we would go up to like $6,000 or something, and we made that there.
So if I remember correctly, I'll have to go back on this one. It was that we were planning to allocate money to it, and then that's when Councilmember Grant said, no, I can get the money donated. Let me find out how much I can get first.
In other words, I stepped in it.
So I thought I remember, because I know the other time.
Because it's, I mean,
I think it was,
Chief Alfaro is correct. It's 3 years. I mean, I can go back on my records and probably find the actual paperwork.
It's going to be either late 2016 or early 2017 before the before the 2017 election.
Right.
It's going to be in there because I wasn't sitting on that one.
Yeah, I'll go back and look.
But I think it's a good deal because a lot of things we're talking about now about all the different events and everything. This guy's not going to put on that big sign, you know, and the Baptist church and all the different things.
They submitted $10,000. And so we don't have any money in this year's budget to pay the West. So that's something that we just submitted the budget tonight. So we would have to, you know, add those additional funds. We'll raise this.
Go back and check.
Well, I'm not done yet. Okay.
That thought we allocated money to the sign.
But if we did, it would have been a prior fiscal year, and we don't have that money.
And if we can, with that $71.94, what have you, the hour $71.94.
Yeah. That's for instance.
It's just a weird number. Sorry, $71.94 an hour.
Yeah.
I mean.
Wait a minute.
If we can figure out what their average, you know, like what they, like worst case scenario.
Okay.
You know, ground not. Ground knots with.
They program it.
Yeah, well, that's right. It. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So it's kind of weird.
But what it is, it's teaching the chief how to do it, basically. But here's the thing, for whatever this is worth.
The chief's not going to do it. It's going to be the staff here because it does. It's remotely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to take the computer anymore.
That's what I'm saying. He was going to do it remotely.
He doesn't remember that conversation.
Chief, give me a break.
So he's going to do it from your desk.
We're getting old now, so it's hard to remember these things.
I think this is a great item for the position that we hired for the assistant to the city manager.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
I forgot about her. Excuse
me. Which is PR and other items.
Yeah, I got you. Okay, that'll work.
Because we have the forms here anyway that we require when someone wants a message posted, they have to fill out the form and bring it to City Hall. So, yes, that would be.
Okay.
So if we can put this one on the next agenda as well, just so that
total costs.
With total costs. And then, I mean, at that time, I would think that we would vote on it then because it would be, to me, not prudent of doing it now and then having to go back and say, oh, no, that's not what the amount is.
Would be prudent in this juncture.
Huh? Yes, exactly. All right, is there any other discussion? All right. Item 10A, request by mayor and council members for items to be placed on future city council agendas and announcements on city events, community interests. Councilmember Grant.
Oh, I got to compliment Gilbert and our people. I did a lane closure today in Converse, right by the new city hall, right? And they came out, this is not a joke, they came out the first group to put up two barricades, which they let cars drive around, was 11. It took 11 people to blue line snap off the area they were going to cut. Then half of those people disappeared, and another 7 came up to stand around to watch the guy start the saw to cut the blue line and not direct traffic. And we do that and more with half of those people that don't lean on the shovel to make sure it doesn't fall down. So I got to hand it to Gilbert with the stuff that I see get done out here with the staff that we have. And I watched this today. It was like it was like one of those things like you're getting pumped, you know? It's just, I mean, you know, you'll talk about the guy leaning on the shovel watching the other guy. And it was, I was just amazed at that. But, I mean, Gilbert, and the people that we have here that work for this city that are all loyal to us, damn, I'm impressed even more each day. I'll tell you that. I just want to thank them. I know they're not here, but yeah, that's it, Mayor. Thank you.
Councilmember Wilson.
I do. I have several things. Number one, I know that we have the citywide garage sale 1st of October, the week before the fall cleanup. I'd like us to look into doing a citywide garage sale before the week before the spring cleanup.
May.
Is it in April?
April, May.
So it's typically in March.
Oh.
But you're talking about the one that dropped off of that.
Right, right.
Okay.
But we don't have a free garage sale before that, right?
No.
Before what? In March?
We only have one city.
One,
so I'd like us to look into doing the citywide garage sale free before the week before the public works pickup thing. And then I would like to talk about the, you know, we have parking on. Oh, I'm sorry. Parking on property, trucks just parking up on property. Well, lately I've been having to go down Ackerman Road to go out to 10. And right across the street from the elementary school, there's these, at least last time I was there, there was these trucks that were parked in the vacant field with grass growing through them.
They're moved now.
Are they moved?
Yeah,
that was part of the municipal court docket last
time. Okay, because I haven't been that way. And
you
a couple
can see all the way through.
Yeah.
And then my other thing is I would like us to consider putting an advertisement in to start the Parks and Rec Committee again and putting it in the media and seeing if anybody will volunteer to be on that committee.
Checking that one off because I already had that one
too. Okay, then. We're just really doing good today. I just think that was a very working committee, and then it just kind of dwindled. And so I think that maybe if we just advertise it, we'll get some more maybe new blood in and put it on that committee to work.
On that committee, do we want people that live inside the city only, or it's open to anybody we can get?
I personally, like I said last time, if somebody is willing to donate time to our city and be productive, I'm absolutely for.
As long as it stays with any type of committee the city has, we should have that then available to anybody that wants to apply.
As long as it's not barred from our charter or, you know, something that specifically is state statute.
Correct. Now, I don't think a Parks and Rec committee.
That's what I'm saying. A committee
by itself. Limitation.
Right.
On residency.
Okay, that works.
I just think that we just advertise it and put it back up on Facebook and city on whatever things that we can put it up on and see if we can get.
We've got a whole bunch of openings just waiting for
people to
individuals
knock at the doors.
Who want to make a difference and be part of the solution to make our city a better place.
Well, you know, a lot of the managers, too, from the teams in Little League come are not in the city. So, yeah. I was probably wrong in
you
saying
football,
that before.
You know, yeah. You have people in the football that are involved with the city of Kirby, but
so,
they just don't.
Yep.
That's so it. Parks and Rec.
That was all. Okay. That was all my only three.
I still want a discussion. Okay, go ahead. Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge.
I just want to thank our departments, our public works, police and fire for all their hard work. I did notice a post on our Kirby Facebook page where a citizen had mentioned about a swing that was broken at the park. And, I mean, almost immediately they said, we're on that. We'll get that fixed. I was very impressed with whoever monitors that to get that swing fixed. I'm done.
Councilmember Lehman.
Oh, I just wanted to make a comment. The senior center had their breakfast Saturday, and they served pancakes and sausage. And I'll guarantee you that was one of the best breakfasts I've had up there in many a year. And it's a shame that people of Kirby does not help support senior center or anybody else that is putting on this type of little fundraiser to help pay their bills. I think through the whole morning they might have had a dozen people is all for the whole morning. And it's a shame. I mean, no wonder they feel downhearted. That's all.
Councilmember Apodaca.
I know that we went over the city events for 2019. I don't know if y'all are familiar with the Ciclovia that San Antonio has. And I think it was Schertz, had something similar. They call it something else. But that event, I've gone a couple of times myself, and I enjoyed it very much. And I think that that's something that we might consider down the line, because I know that we're working on what we have already. But that's something new. I think that people would enjoy it. You know, we would have to shut down one of the main streets in Kirby to do it. But it can be like a four-hour event, something like that, something small. And I think that the citizens of Kirby would enjoy it. And actually, I had one customer ask me about that. And so I think it's just something to consider. Maybe in the future, after we get what we have settled, maybe we can think about
that. Is
that
something that you think you can get information on? About
Yeah.
specific, since you've actually been mm-hmm. there?
Yeah, it's really nice. The last time that I went, I stayed on Broadway, and I think it turned on Travis. But it was really nice. We went on our bikes, and It was really nice.
And you're familiar with, maybe you can give insight. So even if it's not there, I mean, we can plan future, even if it's out. That's it. Councilmember Pierce.
Crime Control Prevention had their meeting last night. They pretty much got everything wrapped up, which I know they've probably gotten with Patty today because they're trying to get the stuff through so they can be put on the May 4th ballot for the election and bring all that stuff. So I know they're going to be working with Patty and Tina trying to get all that done so they don't have to stress out too much or stress Patty or Tina out too much either. So they are working on it and getting this stuff settled and getting it taken care of.
My turn? All right. Thank you, everybody, all of our staff, for working so hard for the city. As I've always said, I know there's other places that people can work, and so thank you for choosing Kirby. Along the lines of what Councilmember, Mayor Pro Tem Aldred said regarding that one little piece of somebody indicating that there was something broken and we fix it, I think that maybe, I know that we always talk about communication, but maybe we can have an if this, then this kind of thing to get communication to, I mean, that person could have called, you know, they could have called City Hall to report something rather than post on social media, because the bad thing is, I mean, you know, people are expecting an answer, but we've said before that it's not monitored all the time. And so then when somebody doesn't get an answer, then it allows an opportunity for everybody else to start being negative. So if maybe we can have a, hey, is your this broken? You know, if you see this, call this, that number. You know, if we see, if the if a resident sees maybe something that they think, I don't know, a food truck or anything, you know, that is there and they're not sure if it's supposed to be there, who do they call? You know, how do they get those answers? If they want to report, you know, something broken, you know, who do they call? And then, but,
Ghostbusters.
Yeah. And to that extent, though, I think that we also need to reply to them. You know, thank you for your message or thank you for your call. We are addressing it so that there's an end or at least an option to say, yes, we've heard you, and yes, we're working on it. I would like to, once we get the finalization of the agreement or the termination of the agreement with Bexar County, I would like to possibly have a workshop that will, and that will be the only thing on the agenda, so that we can have bullet points, because this is what we've asked for, and it's going to take all of us to get it back up and going. And so, again, because it's like starting from scratch from day one, so I think we all need to be in, if this is what we're, you know, moving towards, that we all have to own it and be a part of it to make it successful, just like anything, but especially since this is the other piece coming up. And is there any other events that we need to have? All right. Adjourned. Thank you. Oh, wait.